Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The Benjamin Dixon Show is only possible with listener support. Go to www.thebenjamindixonshow.com to register for our blog and join the Progressive Army.
Today is Monday, January 16th, 2022. It is Martin Luther King Day. We celebrate his birthday on today. His birthday was on January 15th. Yesterday would have been his 94th birthday. I want to use today's episode to clear up a few misconceptions about Dr. King, as well as push back against the whitewashing of Dr. King that happens every single year. And this year is particularly important because we are in the push against all things, quote unquote, woke, all things, quote unquote, critical race history. Well, critical race theory. And quite honestly, Dr. King absolutely falls underneath the category that white conservatives in this country want to ban all across this country. In Arkansas, the child of nepotism, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, now governor of the state that her father was governor over, has in her first action banned critical race theory in all grades, elementary school through high school. The irony, of course, is that critical race theory is not being taught, even though it should be. It is not being taught at any school in this country. It is a boogeyman that they use to scare people from getting any progress in this country, to protect white supremacy in every form, to protect the white power structure. And so today, as she gets ready to tweet out and all the rest of the disingenuous bad faith actors that are the white supremacists of the conservative movement and those who are still inside of the Democratic Party, the vestiges of the Dixiecrats, they will be spending today tweeting all the flattering words that they can about Dr. King, but they cannot do it without whitewashing him completely and making him something innocuous. Something that was non-threatening to this empire, non-threatening to this system of white supremacy. In fact, the reason he's not here to celebrate his 94th birthday is because he was a very direct threat to everything that the white conservatives and white liberals who are going to be tweeting about him today, sending out messages today, he was a threat to their system. I want to begin by reading an entry from Dr. Karl Marx's Black Heritage Day 4 calendar, the most comprehensive Black history calendar ever assembled. And here's the entry for January 15th, which is the actual birthday of Dr. King, while we're celebrating it today on the 16th. Dr. Mack writes, Martin Luther King Jr. was born on this day in 1929 in Atlanta, Georgia. He received his father's name, Martin, at the age of six. After graduating from Morehouse College in Atlanta, earning a BA, he attended Crozer Theological Seminary in Chester, Pennsylvania. Martin later received his PhD from Boston University. His first major battle in the civil rights movement occurred in Montgomery, Alabama, after Rosa Parks was arrested for refusing to give up her seat on a city bus. King mobilized the Black community in a successful boycott of the city's bus service, which lasted 381 days. In 1957, he founded and served as president of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. Among his many battles for equality are the protests of unfair hiring practices in Birmingham, Alabama, the 1963 March on Washington, the voter registration protest in Selma, Alabama, the open housing and slum rehabilitation programs in Chicago, desegregation of schools and public facilities, and his opposition to the Vietnam War. An advocate for nonviolence, in 1963, he was named Time Magazine's Man of the Year. In 1964, Dr. King became the youngest recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize. On the night of April 3rd, 1968, he addressed the church congregation, saying in part that he had, quote unquote, conquered the fear of death. The next day, Dr. King, the dreamer, was assassinated while standing on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, Tennessee. Today, the dream lives on. Observed on the third Monday in January, Dr. King became the first Black American to have a federal holiday named in his honor. The first observance of that holiday occurred January 20th, 1986. Again, that was from Black Heritage Days 4. That is the calendar put together by our own Dr. Carl Mack. You can get it at blackheritagedays.com. It's important that we understand what happens when someone is lost to history or it passes away with history, as time happens to all of us, whether it's an assassination or death. What happens is that we tend to remember people more fondly, especially in the case of Dr. King. We remember him more fondly than the people remembered him when he was alive. When Dr. King was killed, he had a 75% negative approval rating. This wasn't just white people who didn't like Dr. King at the time. There were Black people who didn't like Dr. King at the time because he continued the fight. He did not stop just with the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act of 1964 and 1965, which were tremendous victories. He did not stop there. And because he didn't stop there, he became hated. And one of the number one reasons why was because he spoke out against America's war in Vietnam.
I weighed the criticisms that I would get.
Yes, sir.
I thought about even the fact that some Negroes wouldn't understand and some respectable Negro leaders who are more concerned about being invited to the White House than invited to the cause of justice would be against me. I weighed all of this. As I weighed in it, as I prayed over it, something said to me that you got to speak on this issue.
All right.
If you don't speak on it and others don't speak, I'm not going to give up. I have even the rocks to cry out against this war. It's an evil war. And no matter where it leads, no matter what abuses it may bring, I'm going to tell the truth.
And tell the truth he did. The price for truth in this country, particularly when you speak out against the military-industrial complex, often is death. There's nothing that this country loves more than its wars. The ability to spend an obscene amount of money blowing up people in the global South. And this is precisely what Dr. King spoke out against. He did not stop at civil rights for Black people. He extended the fight for liberation to all people globally, which required, mandated, that he speak out against the war in Vietnam. Here is a clip of a sermon from Dr. King as he spoke about how America believes that it is chosen by God to be the world police.
And don't let anybody make you think that God chose America as his divine messianic forced to be a sort of policeman of the whole world. God has a way of standing before the nations with judgment, and it seems that I can hear God saying to America, you are too arrogant. If you don't change your ways, I will rise up and break the backbone of your power. And I'll place it in the hands of a nation that doesn't even know my name. Be still and know that I'm God.
Now, that message is entirely antithetical to what most people believe about America. Most Americans believe about America today. certainly the conservative movement, plenty of liberals who fall underneath the neoconservative military industrial complex paradigm. I mean, these are the people who believe in spending more money on police budgets than they do teaching here domestically. And they certainly believe more in putting money into missiles than they do bread and butter in other countries. So you can imagine if Dr. King was alive today, had he not been killed by this white supremacist military industrial complex, had he not been assassinated, every politician who supports the war machine would oppose Dr. King, full stop. Most of the politicians tweeting today, all of their platitudes about Dr. King, would oppose him today. They would label him woke. They would say what he's trying to teach is critical race theory. They would try to outlaw his ability to speak at campuses across this country. They would label him a socialist, a communist. They would do everything that they could to destroy his legacy, but now they don't have to do that. Why? Because America killed him. And it is so much easier to whitewash someone after they are dead. So if they are in the way, just kill them. That's what America does. That's what America did to Dr. King.
To integrate a lunch counter than it is to guarantee a livable income and a good solid job. It's much easier to guarantee the right to vote than it is to guarantee the right to live in sanitary, decent housing conditions. It is much easier to integrate a public park than it is to make genuine quality integrated education a reality. And so today we are struggling for something which says we demand genuine equality. It's not merely a struggle against extremist behavior toward Negroes.
That was Dr. King in 1967. As he spoke about the realities of the fights, the dual fights that we have in this country. There is most certainly a fight for the liberation of black people and marginalized communities, all of the communities that face bigotry from extremism. Extremism is a manifestation, though, of what is necessary to maintain this capitalistic order. And this is what Dr. King was hitting on. It doesn't mean that we put aside race. There are a lot of bad faith actors and podcasters who like to say that we should put aside race as secondary. This is not what Dr. King was saying there. What Dr. King was saying there was, even though they accomplished the 1964 Civil Rights Act and the 1965 Voting Rights Act, the next step in liberation would be to address the poverty of black people that came as a direct result of not only slavery in this country, but years of Jim Crow and prejudice policies that ensured that black people remained impoverished. Well, addressing that required that America also addressed capitalism. And that's where they drew the line. That's where America drew the line. And Dr. King noticed that line. And he said, it's easier to integrate a lunch counter than it is to ensure a job. That's because the lunch counter is more than happy to give you the money. But is this system more than happy to see black people have economic independence? Ask Tulsa, Oklahoma. The race massacre of 1921. Black people have historically built their independence. And we've seen historically this country eviscerate it, either outright bomb it out of existence, destroying entire cities, Rosewood, killing hundreds of people at a time, Camilla, Georgia. Whatever it was that black people were engaged in that tried to gain our economic freedom and demonstrated our ability to do so was eviscerated, destroyed. And we also see that it wasn't just destroyed by physical violence. It was destroyed by violence in the banking system, redlining. It was destroyed by policies that targeted black people specifically, made sure that we were left out of the economic wealth that is America.
The nation heralded a new day of concern for the poor, for the poverty, for the disadvantaged, and brought into being a poverty bill. But at the same time, it put such little money into the program that it was hardly and still remains hardly a good skirmish against poverty. White politicians in suburbs talk eloquently against open housing, and in the same breath contend that they are not racist. And all of this and all of these things tell us that America has been backlashing on the whole question of basic constitutional and God-given rights for Negroes and other disadvantaged groups for more than 300 years.
That's the gag. And actually, the gag is a little worse. What Dr. King is talking about here is absolutely true. America has been reneging on the promises enshrined in their own documents, especially when it comes to black people and any other marginalized group. Now, when you think about that other marginalized group, you have to broaden your thinking to include everybody who is slaving in this system. Everyone who is a cog in the machine of this economy. Everyone who's living paycheck to paycheck. This includes some racist people. It includes some people who hate our guts because we're black. It's easier for the people at the bottom to engage in the bigotry because they don't have the money to engage in the exploitation. So when we talk about America reneging on its promise, America is reneging on its promise to the majority of Americans. The vast majority of people who live in this country are 100% exploited by a machine that will grind them to a pulp. And in fact, it's not just America. All around this globe, we have incorporated a policy that grinds billions into dust in order to provide wealth for the richest. This is just a matter of fact. This is not a matter of opinion. This is not a matter of hyperbole. The Guardian is reporting that since the pandemic, 2/3 of all of the wealth generated on this planet went to the top 1%. Over $26 trillion, while people were dying of COVID-19, while essential workers were dying of COVID-19, putting their lives on the line in order to keep these businesses going, in order to keep McDonald's open, in order to keep Hooters open for alpha males like Nick Adams. While essential workers were dying, the rich pocketed 2/3 of all of the wealth generated on this planet. And for a while, the politically powerful were willing to play ball, so to speak, as it pertained to civil rights, right? They pretended they were fine with it for a few years, but once they realized that true civil rights includes economic rights, then they were more than happy to get over their political disagreements between the Democratic Party and the Republican Party and to ensure that not only did black people not get access to this wealth, nobody did except for the wealthiest. This is the gag on top of the gag. White folks out here opposing black people's liberation, you're being ground to a pulp by this system. Not as much as black people, but you're certainly being ground to a pulp. And the more you allow your racism and your bigotry to look down on black people, the easier it is for you to continue to live your entire life working all of the jobs that you work, living paycheck to paycheck, making ends meet, only to die with nothing but maybe a certificate of attendance at your job and maybe a gift certificate for a meal. That's America. That's the American dream. And that's what Dr. King was referencing when he says he feared that he has assimilated his people into a burning house.
I have a dream. Where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.
I must confess that that dream that I had that day has at many points turned into a nightmare. Now, I'm not one to lose hope. I keep on hoping. I still have faith in the future. But I've had to analyze many things over the last few years, and I would say over the last few months. I've gone through a lot of soul-searching and agonizing moments. And I've come to see that we have many more difficult days ahead, and some of the old optimism was a little superficial, and now it must be tempered with a solid realism. And I think the realistic fact is that we still have a long, long way to go, and that we are involved in a war on Asian soil, which, if not checked and stopped, can poison the very soul of our nations. When a nation becomes obsessed with the guns of war, it loses its social perspective, and programs of social uplift suffer. This is just a fact of history, so that we do face many more difficulties as a result of the war. It's much more difficult to really arouse a conscience during a time of war. That is something about a war like this that makes people insensitive. It dulls the conscience. It strengthens the forces of reaction, and it brings into being bitterness and hatred and violence. I think the biggest problem now is that we got our gains over the last 12 years at bargain rate, so to speak. It didn't cost the nation anything. In fact, it helped the economic side of the nation to integrate lunch counters and public accommodations. It didn't cost the nation anything to get the right to vote established. And now we are confronting issues that cannot be solved without costing the nation billions of dollars. Now, I think this is where we're getting our greatest resistance. They may put it on many other things, but we can't get rid of slums and poverty without it costing the nation something.
Go to www.patreon.com/thebpdshow and get twice the content and unfiltered interviews without any of the commercial interruptions.
And here we go. Very special welcome to our newest patron, Robin Dixon. Well, that name sounds a little familiar. He might be related to me. Thank you so much, little bro, for becoming a very generous patron. This patron party is for you. Everybody else, just bop your head for a second. Oh. Wait a minute. You too can get your own personalized shout out and support the show. Patrons are the only ones that make this possible. Patreon.com/thebpdshow, where generally you get twice the content. Not today, because it's a holiday, but generally you get twice the content, none of the commercial interruptions, and you get access to our patron party, which is always popping. We had a great time Friday night. Shout out to DJ Exclusive and all the patrons. Patreon.com/thebpdshow. And we'll be back after this.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to the Benjamin Dixon Show. Visit us online at thebenjamindixonshow.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back. I want to read to you a portion of an article written back in 2015 by Jane Timm. It was for MSNBC.com if you want to look it up, and it's entitled Steve Scalise and Other Republicans Anti-MLK Day Votes Under Scrutiny. Now, Steve Scalise, you may not know him readily off the top of your head, but Steve Scalise is the second most powerful Republican in the country, second only to Kevin McCarthy, who is the Speaker of the House. Steve Scalise has identified himself as David Duke without the baggage. I want to reassure you that history is not that long ago, and that some of the very people who voted against the holiday that they're celebrating today, the holiday that they are promoting and whitewashing, they voted against that holiday. Now, you have to ask them why, because if you ask me, well, in 1999, then this is again by Jane Timm. In 1999, then Louisiana State Representative Steve Scalise voted against implementing and later mandating the federal Martin Luther King holiday in his state. In 2004, he did it again. This time, one of just six in the state to vote against the holiday the federal government had been celebrating for two decades. Smack in between those two votes, the lawmaker addressed a group of white supremacists in 2002. The Republican, now the majority whip in the House of Representatives, has since apologized for his speech, but the scandal has highlighted how race remains a problematic issue for many conservatives. Now, you could read the entire article, but I want to go through the list of names. You should recognize some of these names of people who, until recently, were serving in Congress for all of this time. John McCain of Arizona died recently, but he voted against MLK Day. Orrin Hatch of Utah. Yeah, Orrin Hatch voted against Martin Luther King's holiday. Chuck Grassley voted against the holiday. Johnny Isaacson voted against the holiday. John Culberson of Georgia, or rather John Culberson of Texas, voted against the holiday. There are a lot of Republicans who are alive and well today who absolutely opposed the holiday, but some of them lived long enough to actually oppose Dr. King when he was alive. You remember the picture that was discovered of Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, as he was in the background as white students were harassing a black student trying to integrate schools? I need to reassure you. I need to just remind you that history is not that long ago. Racism in this country is present because the people who were here during the time of desegregation are still alive today. Ruby Bridges, the black child, now a black woman, who helped integrate schools in Louisiana, in New Orleans in 1960. She's only 68. American history, the reason they fight so hard against teaching critical race theory is because they realize it's not that long ago. It is addressing problems that still have to be fixed today. And I often wonder if, as we listen to the clip in the last segment of Dr. King seemingly a little disillusioned with his own dream, saying that it had turned into a nightmare and realizing the extent of the challenge and ahead of them, I wonder what Dr. King would feel today had he lived long enough to realize that the game was fixed for generations, for decades, till this day. It's fixed enough to pretend as though we are diverse and we are inclusive. But when it comes to the rubber meeting the road, when we really get to the brass tacks of what it is to be free and to be liberated, we will understand that America is far worse off today than it was in the 60s. We can pretend like we're kumbaya. All the tweets that are going out, they're going out today from some of the most racist politicians that we have had in power in our lifetime. It's going out from all of the politicians who are in power, who absolutely support the exploitation of this system because they turn a blind eye to it or they actively participate in that exploitation. We are encompassed about by people who understand fully what they are doing to the American people, hell, what they're doing to the global system. Racism and the bigotry that comes from it is the tool of white supremacy to keep and maintain wealthy white aristocrats, wealthy and overwhelmingly white. The only difference is today you get a couple of black people scattered in there for diversity and inclusion. You get a diverse top 1% that looks like a certain percentage black, a certain percentage white, a certain percentage LGBTQ. Meanwhile, the vast majority of humans on this planet are being exploited beyond anything we have ever seen in our lifetime. Child labor still exists. Sweatshops abound. The warehouse industrial complex here in the United States of America is booming again. Migrant children found to be working in warehouses in Alabama. We see children being sold into the prison industrial complex for profit. Not just black children. White kids are getting caught up because the greed of this system goes so far where it will eat its own children. It's nothing for the average American worker to work 14 hours a day and still not be able to afford a one-bedroom apartment. That is the nature of America's dream. And this is why I believe Dr. King, once he moved from the achievement that was the 1964 Civil Rights Act and the 1965 Voting Rights Act, respectively, it disturbed him to see exactly how committed these people were to the violence of exploitation, which went even further than their violence of bigotry. But one thing we know for certain is that America has no limit to the violence it will commit in the name of capitalism and in the name of imperialism. And this is ultimately what got Dr. King killed, when he spoke out against that imperialism, when he spoke out against the structural exploitation that comes from capitalism. So what do we do? How do we respond? Do we respond with violence? Do we respond in kind? Do we even have the capacity, the weaponry to respond with the same level of violence that is visited upon us? Here's what Dr. King had to say about that.
You can, through violence, burn down a building, but you can't establish justice. You can murder a murderer, but you can't murder murder through violence. You can murder a hater, but you can't murder hate. And what we are trying to get rid of is hate and injustice and all of these other things that continue the long night of man's inhumanity to man.
That continues the long night of man's inhumanity towards man. Dr. King was phenomenally brilliant. One of the best things that ever happened to me was stumbling on a book of sermons by great historical leaders in my father's office. And I opened the book to the page of Dr. King. And as I started to read it, I was a teenager. I started to read it and it was way beyond my pay grade. But I understood the fight for justice that he was talking about. I didn't know every word that he used. I didn't understand every phrasing that he put together. I'm grateful to have had that experience, because now I can look back and listen to every detail and see the type of brilliance that this country really took from us before he was even 40 years old.
And Catholics will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last.